must not grieve. We must not grieve, quench, resist the Holy Spirit. Three major things. And these things are really serious. First, let's look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Someone, the title, okay. Resisting the Holy Spirit. Resisting the Holy Spirit. Pardon? 1 Thessalonians 5, yeah. So the title today is Resisting, do not rebel against the Holy Spirit. Resisting the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So, do not quench the Spirit. I mean, the Spirit is so powerful. The Spirit is almighty. The Spirit is God Himself. And yet, you and I, mortal human beings, can quench the Spirit of God. You see how serious it is? Even though He's almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere, and all these attributes of God, yet you and I can quench Him. We can resist Him as if we are so powerful. He lets us, because He's a gentleman, He honors the free will that God has given us. So that's why He allows us to quench Him, not because we are powerful, but because that is His choice. Now, let's look at Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, verse 30. Let's start from 27. No, let's start from 25. And he's going to mention a series of things that grieves the Holy Spirit. Therefore, putting away lying grieves the Holy Spirit. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. So truth honors the Holy Spirit, but lying grieves the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we even give testimony. There are lying testimonies. I mean, how? May God help us. Lying testimonies. Because you want to impress, big up yourself. Blow your own trumpet. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. For we are members of one body. Then he said, be angry and do not sin. When you allow your anger to lead to sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Unrighteous anger. There is righteous anger. And for some of us, you get so angry that you can even kill. That is of the devil. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. When you allow the sun to go down on your wrath, it means you have grieved the Holy Spirit. You are so angry. You go to bed angry. You wake up angry. You have grieved the Holy Spirit. So, as bad as it may be, that you may even feel that you are justified in your anger, get rid of it by morning. Wake up. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day with the Holy Spirit. But if you start that new day with that anger still in your heart, the Holy Spirit will be gone. and you'll be toiling for the rest of the day. Nothing will go well with you. Then he said, do not give place to the devil. So, when we give place to the devil, it grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, when we do things that it's of the devil, you know, you do things, you allow the devil in. He said, give no place to him, and you give him place. By the things that we do, we give place to the devil. He said, give no place to the devil. He's a bad devil. You give him half an inch, by the time you realize he's taking 12 inches. And he never comes in desiring to have, you know, something big in your life to start with. He always asks for something little, insignificant. It's the little foxes that spoils the vine. He starts with little foxes. Then it says that, let him who stole steal no longer. I think he's writing to unbelievers here, is he? Is he writing to unbelievers? People are stealing in the church. My goodness. It grieves the Holy Spirit. He said, let him that steals steal no more. You used to steal, don't carry on stealing. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Why would he say that to believers? But rather, let him labor, working of his hands. What is good that he may have something to give him who has need? Let no corrupt, hallelujah, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So when corrupt communication proceeds out of our mouths, it grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we talk foolish talks. The Holy Spirit is grieved. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit manifests himself is through the way we speak. Grace. And that is the thing that was noticed about Jesus, that grace was poured on his lips. So, if you are full of the Holy Spirit, your words will be seasoned with grace. Then verse 30. After saying, giving us all these pointers, he said, do not, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed. By whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And he is the one that comes in to seal our relationship with the Lord so that we'll not backslide. But if we keep grieving him, if we keep resisting him, then how are we going to make it without our helper? We need our helper to make it to the end. Without him, we cannot make it. So if we grieve the Holy Spirit, we are in danger of missing out. Because he's the one that seals our redemption. He's the one that comes in to seal our redemption. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. If I say Acts 7, what comes to mind? Stephen. This is going to be a bold, there's no seeker-friendly message here. This is going to be bold, 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 bold statement by this man that is called, he was full of the Holy Spirit. I want to read from verse 44 to show you what he was being accused of. Stephen, our fathers had a tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all things? Verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did. So Stephen stood up. Initially, to read the whole story, they were accusing Stephen of speaking against the temple or defiling their temple. You know, in those days, the Jewish people, they really revered and worshiped their temple. Instead of worshiping God, they worshiped their temple. So they accused Stephen of defiling their temple by some of the declarations that he was making. So that's why I started from verse 44. He was telling them about the tabernacle, how God instructed Moses to pattern it after the one that is in heaven. But then in 51, he accused the whole religious leaders, the nation. He accused them and he said that you always resist the Holy Spirit. Remember, we are told that Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit. He said you always, not sometimes, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And he said your fathers resisted him even during the wilderness Exodus. And now you are also still resisting the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And they were not even filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Covenant, they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. But here we find Stephen accusing the Jewish people that even in a wilderness experience, they resisted the Holy Spirit. He said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you have a rebellious nature. You always resist the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful that we do not become like the Jewish people in the Old Covenant. We have to be careful that we don't get to the place where we become comfortable with resisting the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is so gentle, he's so peaceful, that he doesn't impose himself on us. That's why he speaks to us so softly, so gently, to give you the choice to either resist him or to obey him. And most of the time, it will be in very, very insignificant things, small, small things. You may be watching something on telly, And the Holy Spirit will say, don't watch that. And you pretend you didn't hear. And you carry on. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Something as simple. You're watching something, then at some point you close your eyes that you don't want to see certain scene. And when that scene is over, you carry on watching. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. There are times you may be deep in something. The Holy Spirit will quietly, not audible voice, but it will lay something on your heart. You know, stop and go and pray. And then you ignore and carry on. That's resisting the Holy Spirit. You may be at a certain place. The Holy Spirit says, time to leave. And then because you want to please man, you carry on. You carry on until you get yourself into trouble. So there are so many ways that we can resist the Holy Spirit. So many ways. So many different ways. Certain friends, the Holy Spirit wants you to finish with them. You still carry on and grieve the Holy Spirit. And the ones that grieves him the most is when he's leading us to witness to someone. And that's the difficult one for us. Because we rather please man than God. So if we don't yield in those insignificant, small, well, they are significant to the Spirit. That's why he's leading us. But those things that we deem simple, small things, then how do you expect him to lead you in bigger things? We have to start with the small things. That's, then you get sensitive. You get used to the leadings of the Spirit through the small day-to-day activities. Then you become sensitive. That is his training. Remember, he's the one that is carrying on the training that Jesus started with the disciples. So he's the one carrying on the training that we need for today. And because he's a spirit, not in a physical body, he can be at everywhere at the same time. Omnipresence. So we have to be careful. And we always have to be attentive. We always have to be aware that he can lead us. Some of us, we don't even know that he leads. So we're just carrying on our daily activities without being sensitive to the fact that he can lead us. There are times he wants you to read the word. And so I'm too busy. And you just carry on. Isaiah 63. The Holy Spirit wants you to go to prayer meeting. You sit at home and watch telly. You grieve the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63, from verse 10. Isaiah 63, verse 10. But they rebelled and grieved his spirit, so he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. I mean, this is scary business. Because the Jewish people rebelled against the Holy Spirit. They didn't want him to lead them. They wanted to do their own thing. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit turned against them and he became an enemy to the people of God. This is serious. And we don't want to get to that place. He turned himself against them as an enemy. And he fought against them. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But they were full of themselves, that is pride. So the Holy Spirit turned against them. They thought they can do things in their own way. They can do things in their own strength. The Holy Spirit became an enemy. We don't want to get to the place where our helper turns against us and he starts working against us instead of working for us. Serious business. It's time for us to wake up. And a lot of people are not living their lives as though Jesus is coming. A lot of believers in church are living like normal life. We are not called to lead normal lives. Jesus is coming. This is not a time to play church. This is not a time to be comfortable. Woe to those that are at ease in Zion. Every generation, those that are walking with the Spirit, he always will be stirring them up that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. So you will live your life as though he's coming the next day. That's how Apostle Paul lived his life. To the point that when Jesus didn't come, they say, what's going on? You said he's coming and he hasn't come. They got confused. But if you are truly walking with the Spirit, that agency will be in your spirit. He's coming. Be ready. He's coming. Be ready. He's coming. If you are too relaxed, then it means you are not ready for his coming. You are not being led by the Spirit. As many as are led, and in the Greek is regularly led by the Spirit, are the sons of God. That means mature. They are the ones that are, they are maturing because regularly they are being led. They are being trained. They're being trained. They are being led. They know the mind of God. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What we need is we humble ourselves so that he will give us grace to do what we need to do, so that we are not doing things in our own strength. We are depending on him. Psalm 78, let's look at some of the way they rebelled. Now, going back, sorry, before I forget, Stephen said to them that you uncircumcised, he said, with your hearts and ears are uncircumcised. So even though they were physically circumcised, they were physically circumcised in their flesh, yet spiritually, he said, their hearts has not been circumcised and their ears have not been circumcised. So they were not hearing what the Spirit is saying. And they were not doing what the Spirit wants them to do. They were solely dependent on their physical circumcision. So they were bound to their senses and led by their senses. And they refused to get their ears circumcised so that they can hear the Spirit of God speaking to them and directing them. Now we go through some of the things that they rebelled against. Verse 17, Psalm 78, 17, but they sinned even more against him, against the Holy Spirit, by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock, so that waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? I can't imagine God giving them water from the rock, and the rock is Christ. And instead of saying thank you, they are rather questioning him, can he give bread also? Hasn't he been giving them manna? You see, can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? In other words, they didn't appreciate what God has given them or what God was giving them. He sustained them in the wilderness all these 40 years. Their shoes grew with them. Their clothes grew with them. God fed them with manna, fresh from heaven every morning. And yet they started designing for garlics and cucumbers and stuff. How embarrassing. Garlics and cucumbers. Unbelievable. Verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God. You see that? They did not believe in God. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, there will be no faith for you to believe in God. And did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained down manna on them to eat, and giving them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the foe. He caused an east wind to blow. Then he's going on and on about how God provided for them. Verse 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the fields of Zoan. They resisted him, resisted his power. They tempted God. They didn't remember his power. They grieved his Holy Spirit. Thank God that we live in the era of grace, and where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Grace upon grace abounds. Grace upon grace is released. The Lord wants us to depend on the helper that he has sent to us. The helper that he has sent to us is the Holy Spirit. And we need to become friends with him, so close with him, he is the administrator of the gifts of God. Whatever we need, whatever we want, he's the one that will give it to us. If you are not his friend and you always grieve him, do you expect him that he will give something to us? He would rather become an enemy to us. And we don't want that to happen. So my challenge to all of us this afternoon He said, let's begin to learn. It's something that we need to cultivate. It's a habit that we need to cultivate. You wake up in the morning and you speak to the Holy Spirit. Oh, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do today? Lead me today. Ask him. Even though he knows he is your helper and is there for you, he still needs to be asked. He doesn't lord it over us. He doesn't impose himself. He doesn't bully us. He's not a bully. He's our helper. He's a gentleman. Gentle person. He's a dove. He can easily fly away. You don't want him to fly away. You want him to stay and help you. But he needs to be asked. So we need to be conscious at all times that he is there to help us. So you ask him to lead you, guide you, direct you. And the good news is that you can speak to him wherever you are. Wherever you are, there is no limitations. You don't just have to speak to him in your prayer closet. Wherever you are, even when you are driving, even when you are working, whatever you are doing, life will be easier. Life will be bearable if you do it with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So we have to be careful that we don't do things that will grieve him. We don't do things that will resist him. Grieve not, quench not, resist not the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is not against us. He is for us. But we don't want him to get to the place where he turns against us and he becomes our enemy. Spirit of the living God, forgive us for not giving you the place that you deserve in our lives. Forgive us for resisting you, for being ignorant about your presence and your ministry for us. Help us to totally depend on you. Help us to rely on you. Help us not to grieve, quench, or resist your spirit. Circumcise our hearts and our ears so that our hearts will desire the things that you desire. And our ears will hear the things that you want us to hear. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you thanks for today. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen.